few among us have not been caught up in watching the terrifying turn of events in Afghanistan in these recent days. I can't even imagine how much more painful the impact must be on those who have spent two decades dissenting from America's war-making in the Middle East, bringing the full force of their unique personal moral clarity to bear. I'm talking about the amazing Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, whose members lost loved ones in the attacks of September 11. Theirs is the perspective I most want to amplify today. And I am grateful to be joined by Ellen Judd, who works with the Afghanistan Committee. Ellen, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity and for your very warm welcome.
Would you start with just a very brief introduction to what Peaceful Tomorrows is and how the organization got started?
The organization started with a number of people speaking out immediately after 9/11 in concern about the calls for war that were being made in our name. Kathy Kelly, who's an extraordinary peace activist, helped bring these people together. A small group of four people went to Afghanistan and created a record of their encounters with people suffering the civilian casualties there. And I think that many of us felt when we were looking at the pictures of the war there that it was just like looking at 9/11. Mm. So, you know, bringing those connections out, and on that basis, Peaceful Tomorrows established itself and people discovered it and came and joined. Well, and all the members are people who did lose family members, so yeah, that, you know, to keep our message clear. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of other people involved in supporting, and we have many partners as well.
What has been the position of most members of Peaceful Tomorrows toward American efforts in the Middle East?
Our focus, I think, has been primarily upon the actions that are taken in response to 9/11. Those are what our public positions are, so, involving Afghanistan and Iraq. I think that the primary views are very largely to dismay virtually all of the military intervention. I personally would oppose all of it in the Middle East. Because when we look at the disaster there, we can see that many of the problems affecting Afghanistan and Iraq are also true of Libya and Syria, for example. So that I think there's a broad sense of nonviolence on the part of the membership, but a very strong aversion to military responses to human problems. Mm.
Had the withdrawal of U.S. forces gone well, it would have been a wonderful way to mark the 20th anniversary, but that's not what happened. You and others in the organization have been in constant contact with partners in Afghanistan. So my first question is, was there ever a way that a withdrawal could have led to positive outcomes?
Looking back on all of this, I think one has to be even more foresighted and simply avoid the military intervention to begin. Because the only really good thing about war that one can do about war is to prevent it. So I think that once you're in it, extracting is enormously difficult. And it carries with it enormous obligations to try to repair the damage that has been done. So I think one could expect that having done this, that there isn't going to be an easy way to get out. So I think a lot of discussion about that, I understand that we're having it. I think that the big question really is to do everything we can to support people who are at risk now, whether to help them get out or to understand that not everybody can get out. And we need to find ways to support the people who are still going to be living under whatever it comes to follow, through international NGOs, through people-to-people contacts and transfers of resources and assistance, whatever we can do to help people wherever they are in the wake of this terrible situation. But then we need to also think about the bigger question about not to continue to do this in other places as well.
There are a lot of people who are saying, is there anything that we can do now with the U.S. government to make things any less horrific for the people of Afghanistan? How do you answer that question?
We're immediately calling for an expansion of support for evacuation. We'll have a statement on our website, and we're keeping in touch with people and looking for additional, more concrete things to do. So one of the important things that we can do, and everybody can contact their political representatives and the public, asking to expand support for evacuation, asking for negotiated and supported protection for land routes for people who aren't going to be able to get on a plane, but to get by land to an exit point and then to support them in refugee camps and on roads there to safe havens, to send financial support to people there and to look for avenues through which we can do it. Right now, banks are largely closed in Afghanistan, so trying to send funds really immediately is a challenge, but we're working on we think that will get resolved within a matter of days. We're looking at, we're suggesting, and I think it's by far the best route, to send support to international NGOs, because that de-links it and makes it more possible than if we're trying to do it through the channels that we used before. And there are organizations like the International Committee of the Red Cross or Doctors Without Borders or Save the Children that have a footprint in Afghanistan and could be helpful. And we'll look at trying to get word out about more of those that people can use. And we think that it's important to keep the door open to talking with whatever authorities are present there in order to be able to influence and reach civilians at risk in Afghanistan. I don't think we should just sort of say, don't have any diplomatic relations. I think that would be disastrous. Diplomacy is an alternative to conflict. And so we need to be talking in order to do things like arrange evacuation, arrange safe passage out of the country, and get help to civilians at risk.
Ellen, what would be the most important thing that your organization is working on?
I think trying to think of everything we can do to support civilians in Afghanistan, yeah, I think, is the top priority for all of us right now. Yeah. It's also the case that there are other kinds of avenues that we have, that we're working on, you know, closing Guantanamo. We've been spending much of the entire year organizing a webinar series and a film festival for the period in September so that people can draw lessons from 9/11 and we can find nonviolent and caring ways to respond to things that aren't right in the world, mm-hmm, in a very different way. So I think it's important to respond to the immediate situation that we have before us that's so urgent, and then also to think about how to avoid those things in the future.
Mm-hmm. What do all Americans need to know now about what's been done in our name and how they can respond?
I think one can try to think about what's happened in Afghanistan as almost a continuing series of 9/11s, so that the very large number of civilians that have been affected is just absolutely overwhelming. Whatever people we manage to get out in the coming days is going to be a very small proportion of the people who are affected, so that it's going to be important for us to continue these ties. And we can do that through connections we've built up through these years. There's also now, you know, and for decades before as well, there's a sizable Afghan diaspora. So we can connect with Afghans within our own communities who will help us make those connections and establish routes for continuing assistance. But there have been friendship and ties built up with people trying to find some respite from this war and to find some other routes forward. And we need to proceed fairly cautiously, not to put anybody at risk. But there are people where we have shared nonviolent convictions who are going to be key to building a better world as we move forward. Mm-hmm.
If you're saying to our listeners what you think and they ask, what can we do right now? What would be your answer?
My answer is first of all, to work on the issue about evacuation and refugee support. And they can do that in all kinds of different ways. There are many calls out. You can support what we're doing. A lasting resource that I hope people may be able to use is we have a website that is a very good portal to all kinds of different channels. PeacefulTomorrows.org. The website itself gives you links to our statement. And as we're able to find additional channels, we'll be posting this right on the website. And it also in the upper right-hand corner will take you to Facebook and Twitter if what you prefer to do is social media. So we do have a portal that is going to be available beyond what I am able to say today, because it's such a fastly moving situation. So we will be posting routes for other things to do, because it is a long-term problem. So I think that what we need to do is to reach out to people, and especially to people still within Afghanistan, because their situation is going to be vastly more difficult than that of the people that we were able to get out. But certainly we'll be having many, I hope, a very large number of people from Afghanistan that we can welcome close to our homes, and they're going to need our support.
What else are Peaceful Tomorrow's members working on ahead of the 20th anniversary? I know you mentioned the Guantanamo work that has been done. What is going to be right at the center of what you want this 20th anniversary to be about?
I think it is a reminder and a set of resources about how to find nonviolent paths forward in the world, because there isn't one single solution to this. So we'll be looking at Afghanistan and Guantanamo and responses to violence and trauma and how to build connections. We're working on peace education. If you go to our website, you'll find the Peace and Justice Film Festival that's going to be available at people's convenience online for several days around 9/11. It's also going to include opportunities to engage with members of Peaceful Tomorrows as well and to get involved in and support our work, because it goes across the whole spectrum of nonviolence. It isn't just a response to one thing, but there's this moment allows us to reach out because so many people feel so closely touched by it.
Alan Judd is Afghanistan coordinator at 9/11 Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. Alan, I really thank you for taking time to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
I'm very grateful for this chance to talk with you and through you with so many people in the faith communities. Thank you.